Welcome to the Career Wanderlust podcast, your compass for new career horizons. Today, we are talking with Angela Griffo. Angela is an accomplished and driven public relations and communications professional experienced with both agency and corporate executive level roles. Angela excels at leading high-profile technology companies through all of their communications needs. After a successful agency career leading technology teams as a senior vice president with Tenfold, Angela made the move to corporate and is now the vice president of corporate communications with Socure, a leader in identity fraud prevention. And I'm really excited to learn more. Angela, thank you for joining us on the Career Wanderlust podcast.
How happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you here. You know, I would love to know, Angela, you've had this very successful career throughout both sides of communications. Could you tell us what you feel has been some of the best career advice that you've gotten or a career belief that has helped carry you through, and how has it helped?
Yeah, I was lucky enough to get great advice very early in my career on the agency side. And I had a manager tell me once, look at the job description above yours and act as if you are that role. Honestly, that was the best advice because you're normally going to do your day-to-day anyway. But if you're really looking what stretch looks like, go to that one or two above you. And honestly, throughout my career, I've been promoted the fastest of anybody in both agencies that I worked with at the time. And I really credit that. And I continue to give that advice to young professionals.
That's fantastic. Act as if, right? I mean, so would you do that? So you would go and take a look at the job descriptions, and then would you ask for those responsibilities, or would you slowly start to like kind of take things on yourself, or a little of both?
Yeah, great question. Really both. I mean, honestly, you can kind of insert yourself in areas where you wouldn't otherwise, or might ask for that opportunity, like, hey, can I help run that project? It really kind of happens organically because the roles, at least within PR, they're not hugely different. It's not like going from a VP of comms to CMO. They're just degrees of promotion. So it is, it's definitely a combination. And you really like have those conversations regularly with your manager saying like, look, I feel like I'm almost here. If I just kind of give me the opportunity to do these couple more things, you know, that'll really help me in my growth path here as an employee. And I think any good manager is going to recognize that as a positive, that they want their staff to be motivated and to continue to grow and push themselves.
Oh yeah. I bet that is what is very appealing to someone on your team. I mean, if I had an employee who was asking for more, I mean, if you have a team of people and you know something's coming up and you have one person who keeps asking for more, who keeps embodying higher level responsibilities, who keeps taking things off your plate, right? Recognizing those things. I mean, that's going to be the natural person when you have a promotion available. That will be the natural person because it's really about making the decision easier for the hiring manager, right? Kind of, I mean, you're just showing them essentially, look, I'm ready for this. I want this. And they need to know that in order to feel good about moving forward.
Yeah. And you can't forget your day to day. So you have wheels on the bus and not let the wheels go off the bus because you're trying to stretch yourself. So it really proves that you can straddle both levels and you have to be able to do them both successfully. And then when I can see that you're doing your day job great, plus you're adding more to your plate and more responsibility and sort of thinking bigger, then I'm feeling very confident that you're going to be successful in that next level.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Really good advice. And what about a story? Because I love stories. I feel like we can learn so much from any kind of story, really. And everyone has a nice selection. I'm curious if there's one that sticks out to you that was impactful to you. It was something that happened to you that you learned from. And hearing that story, other people can learn something too.
Sure. I think, you know, on the agency side, when you work across so many different technologies and different personalities, I mean, I worked with one and two and three time CEOs that had bought and sold companies at various levels, MBAs, engineers from, you know, very advanced degrees from India, Israel. You know, you learn to work with a lot of different cultures, a lot of, and to be honest, a lot of males in my role. And being comfortable and having difficult conversations really became sort of my jam. I guess, you know, everyone was like, Angela, you go talk to him. And it wasn't comfortable always, trust me. I've had some real, you know, just some very prickly pears, and it could be women too. You know, there's a lot of women in power that are not necessarily going to be super friendly to you. They're going to challenge you. Remember, being on the agency side, they're paying you a lot of money to give them results and give them answers. Maybe they want to hear, but I need to give you answers that you don't want to hear. You know, I was lucky enough to have an empathy coach that I worked with for 5 years, and we would literally role play before I would go into these conversations, because he would play whoever I was having to deal with that particular week. And we would say, like, you know, you really have to meet that person where they are. You have to understand, like, their motivations as well as yours, and how to be firm yet understanding where they're coming from. And that might sound easy, but it's actually very difficult when you're in like a stressful situation, especially trying to negotiate money or contracts or deals. You know, I would say that wasn't a strong suit of mine. You don't go to college to learn that. And so, you know, oh my gosh, I probably had maybe not 100, but close to 100 of those conversations throughout my 13 years at my last agency in tech, and, you know, somewhat in my prior agency before that, but I was a lot more junior. So, you know, then I had to teach my staff, like, I couldn't always be the one. So I had to empower my directors and the people underneath me, like, look, you can do this too. Like, let's role play. I'll do this with you, and you be that person, and I'll be that person, and you be you. And, you know, kind of, you know, think about how you want to frame the conversation. So it's, you know, you're getting your point across, but you're not, you know, being offensive. I think it's very easy to come across as too direct. I think being direct is another superpower I've been told that I have. I'm very honest, and a lot of people are not comfortable being honest. They're not comfortable telling you the truth. So I know that's sort of a combination of like empathy
and love honest people.
But those two, I was, you know, told you, I don't need a decoder ring to know what you're thinking, Angela. That goes for your staff. That goes for your clients. It goes for whomever you're working with. It is a lot. People just aren't always comfortable kind of saying the elephant in the room.
And yes.
I think you don't get anything done if you're just dancing around, you know, whatever sort of uncomfortable situation that people are avoiding talking about.
What do you think is the most important thing to take into account when you are going into a difficult conversation like one of these?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the sayings that I love is there's your story, there's my story, and there's our story. So if I understand what your story is, at least going into it, I know you're a stressed out founder, you've got VCs breathing down your neck, you have a bunch of sales that you need to make. Maybe the product market fit isn't there. Like, you're under all kinds of pressures. Here I am, trying to do a good job for you in PR. You know, you're not listening. You don't have the budget to do what you want to do. And we have to decide, like, then you come at it saying, like, hey, I understand you're underneath a whole lot of pressure. Can we talk about what some of the alternatives are to help meet your PR goals? And you sort of make it like it becomes our story. It's not just me, like, you're not listening to me, and why are
you so bad?
Why aren't you doing what I'm asking you to do? But, you know, it's not mother may I. It's really like coming at it very maturely. And that does, you know, in the moment, you might only have 10, 15 minutes with this person. Like, you've got to get it across quickly. So I think that would be the advice I would give to anybody, whether it's your staff, whether it's a client, whether it's your boss, whomever.
Really good
is the best way to broach any difficult conversation.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, in life and career, I mean, I love this advice. I think it's very powerful. And I would imagine that you use that same tactic just dealing with difficult people, because you mentioned that you've had to learn how to deal with difficult people. I'm curious if you have any other tips around just how to effectively deal with difficult people, because we all find ourselves in that position at some point.
Yeah. And again, I go back to empathy. You have to meet that person where they are. And like, I had, you know, someone here that what I worked with, and she was always super stressed out, and I can't take a vacation. And then she just, and it was just like, hey, Like, I realize you haven't taken a vacation in a long time. I realize you're working a million hours a week. Like, if I could just get you, can we just agree that maybe you can just do this, these couple of things by next Tuesday and I can help you in the meantime? Like, not being like accusatory of this person. Like, I don't know what people's personal circumstances are. Nobody does. And you can't pretend that you do. So you have to just, you notice things. I noticed that you've been working a lot of hours and you come, yeah, you've been very stressed out. Like, that's terrible. You know, let me see how I can help you. So, you know, you've got to come with an olive branch, I guess, mm-hmm. is best advice, right? That you're not just coming at that person, but you're sort of recognizing where they are and where their challenges are. And then they're going to be way more receptive.
Mm-hmm. And I like that. I noticed that that's something I feel like you can use with a lot of things.
Yeah.
I'm going to put that one on my phone.
Do I have permission to give you feedback? I mean, I had a lady, one client, I mean, she was just a terror. And I was like, I was very nervous. And I would honestly say potentially scared to give her feedback because I didn't know how she would react to it. She was very volatile. And, you know, just asking for permission when that person knows, and they could say no, like, no, but I've never had somebody say no. But that's another good wedge when you know you have to tell them something they don't want to hear, but at least if you prepare them for it, they'll be a lot more receptive.
I love that. I'm absolutely putting that in my pocket as well. Thank you. There's a couple of really good ones that I haven't been using and add into my toolbox.
Okay.
That's fantastic. Well, Angela, I happen to know that you are an amazing leader and mentor and manager. As being a former hiring manager that I've worked with, I have heard wonderful things about your leadership. Is there anything that you found is vital or important to being a mentor, manager that really helps inspire people?
Yeah, I've heard this through different speakers and you know, my own experience that the relationship with your employee, you can't be their friend. I did learn my lesson. I had my own office. I think I personally got too close to the staff. And so there is a difference between like trying to be someone's best friend, but actually genuinely caring about them as a person. And so I'm never in a one-on-one where I'm like, how's your wife? In fact, my DR right now, he's having a lot of trouble with his toilet. It keeps breaking. And I keep asking him, how's it going with the toilet? I mean, like, you remember, like, oh, it's his wife's birthday, or, you know, how did that vacation go? Or what are you guys planning this weekend? I see managers fall down where they're just like, what are you working on? Where are you on your OKRs? Or what happened with this project? You know, you have to be genuinely interested in what that person does outside of work, because that's what motivates them. You could have someone that's a marathon runner and you need to make sure, you know what, they're going to tell me I'm training for a marathon. So let's figure out how we can make that time work into your schedule so it's not a conflict, yet you're still able to get your work done. Like, if you aren't having that level of conversation with your staff, I think you're really missing out, and it's just going to become a very transactional relationship. So I'm always, you know, remembering, how's your dog? Or, oh my gosh, how was your 3-year-old's birthday? I've grown kids now, so I can live vicariously now through my staff as their little 2-year-olds are turning 3 and they're getting potty trained. You know, so it's just like, because I've gone through that before, I appreciate, or gosh, you know, my kid's sick, like I got to go, family first. Like, no matter what, you've got to take care of your sick child or your dog or whomever it is. Like, I am very sympathetic to that, to anybody's situation. And I think that, unfortunately, I don't think a lot of managers are. And it becomes, like I said, just very like drill sergeant.
Yeah. It makes all the difference too. It really does. A happy team is a productive, successful team that
doesn't want to celebrate their wins. That's another, you know, celebrate the wins. I think my number one piece of advice is give feedback in the moment. Like, don't wait 2 weeks after they made the mistake or you were like, oh my goodness, what the heck? Do it like as soon as possible, the better. And same goes for the win. You shouldn't celebrate something great somebody did 2 weeks later. Like, I always recommend giving feedback as close to real time as you can.
I like that advice. You know, because a lot of times we'll celebrate something that happened, like in our team meetings, right? That happened maybe the week before, what have you. But you're right. We need to celebrate that day when it happened. Well, I like that better.
Everyone forgets. Oh, that was last month. I've done three new great things in the meantime. Then yeah, it sort of finishes that.
No, it does happen. It'll be like at the end of the meeting, like, oh, wait, we didn't celebrate this. You know, and it's like this afterthought rather than being this beautiful, let's celebrate. I'm taking that one too. That's really good. You know, that's what I love about these conversations. You know, a lot of times it's very simple things that we're just not thinking about or considering, or you just haven't learned really, you know, and in a conversation with someone and sharing that conversation can open up avenues to so many other people.
I really hate that I'm too busy. You know, I have too many meetings. Like, that's on you. You made your schedule. You accepted that meeting. You know, you decided to not make time for your staff and now you're paying for it.
Yeah.
Or you did make time and you're reaping the rewards.
True story. Both counts. So I would love to know, because I talk about this in each episode. We are being bombarded all the time with information, media. It's being fed at us all the time. So I really love to proactively feed the mind. I'm curious if there's something that you have either read, watched, or listened to that had a positive impact on your life that you think others could benefit from as well.
100%. I mean, making the switch from 20 years of agency going in-house, you know, was sort of later in my career. Wasn't easy. Through a family friend, got introduced to a woman named Mary Morrissey. I don't know her personally, but her work. She does this thing called a Dream Builder program. And if you Google her, she's got tons of videos and podcasts. I actually went through like a 6-week course. That I purchased, but that was weekly homework podcasts. I mean, it sort of takes you through all levels, whether, you know, from your past, from your parents, from your previous relationships. The premise is like, do something that you love. Like, what would you really love to do that you've, for whatever reason, haven't done? You know, whether it's travel or moving to a new city or, you know, I don't know, having children, you know, whatever it might be. And it's funny, it seems like such a simple concept, but I think that we get caught in inertia. It takes over. I think about this house. I'm like, I've been in this house when there were 5 of us. Two of my kids are gone now. I have way more room than I need. I have way more things. They left half their stuff here and moved out. And I'm like, I got to get out of here. Like, you tell my husband, like, let's get going. But the emotions tied to this house, like, he's more tied to it than I am. But like, if I really think about what's the life that I would love, you know, I want to downsize. There's several things that would make a difference. And so going through that process was really, really powerful. It sort of gave me clarity about for sure the role that I was looking for next. And I continue to, you know, lean on that when there's either big decisions that I need to make or I feel like I'm getting stuck, sort of like harken back to, am I living the life that I would love? Because if you aren't, you know, life is short.
Yeah. What are you doing? I love this so much because I think it's incredibly important because you're right. We, I don't want to say get stuck, but we're on a path, right? And life just comes at you. And I find that people, you know, especially as they get going, just start to react, right? I mean, because there's so much happening. So there is so much reaction and then life becomes about that reaction. And a lot of people aren't thinking about, okay, am I really happy? Is this what I really want to be doing? Is this where I really want to be? What would make me really happy? What one little thing I could change that would make me just that little bit of happier? You know, what do I love to do? Am I doing those things? And so I love this because doing that deep dive and also doing that deep dive into yourself and then like looking at your past with your family and the relationships and kind of working through some of the things that maybe have been holding you back that you're not fully realizing, also very powerful. So this whole process is very beautiful. And I appreciate you sharing a resource that people can go find.
So I think at the time I was doing that, my mother-in-law passed away from pancreatic cancer as well.
So very, very suddenly.
And I've been with my husband for 30 plus years. This was a very traumatic, as you can imagine, experience for our family. But when we went into the house and like we saw, I mean, she didn't have a will. She didn't have any plan for what we should do, you know, in her passing, like going through her things, it sort of throws you forward. Like, oh my goodness, like now's the time to figure this out, not when I'm 70 or 60 mm-hmm. or God forbid I get an illness that takes my life prematurely.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hope that your listeners or whoever's listening to this now really takes that to heart, because you realize time is very fleeting, and no matter what job you have or whatever you're doing, it could go. And, yeah. you know, you hope you don't have any regrets. I think that, again, is a cliche, but it's also very true.
Oh, so true. So true. I completely agree. And I think that process that you went through, that going through and asking yourself all of those questions as far as, you know, what do I love? You know, is this what I want to be doing? What would my ideal life look like? You know, all of these things. I think we should be doing that every year. Honestly, we should be doing it every year. Always continuously asking ourselves those questions yeah. and reevaluating, because we're always changing too.
Yeah, 100%.
That's how we make sure we don't get stuck and that we are continuously bringing that joy and life into our lives.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Fantastic advice. I love it. This has been great, Angela. Before you go, just one final question that I love to ask. You know, I feel we're all born with some superpowers, but then I also feel that we develop superpowers over time. What do you feel is one of your personal superpowers you develop over time, and how has it benefited you?
And I think I again, sort of harken back to empathy and connecting with people. Mm-hmm. I think I have, even though it's funny, I'm actually pretty shy. Like if I'm at a party, I'm not going to run up to you and I don't know you and be like, oh, what's your name? I'm Angela. What do you do? I'm not that person.
Yeah, I'm not the other person.
I wish I were, actually. But when I am in a relationship with a peer or a manager or a client or a CEO, whoever it is, I feel like I have a way to connect with people, because I think relationships are just that. They aren't transactional. They aren't just like get what you need out of that conversation and bail. Mm-hmm. The empathy is a big piece of it. Connecting with people and reaching them where they are and asking questions about, like, do you watch football? I found it's just the smallest things. But when I used to be on the agency side, I had to build relationships with all these reporters, you know, from Wall Street Journal and Bloomberg. I could tell you everybody's, their kids' names, what nice baseball teams they loved, what football teams they loved. So when, you know, they would win, if their team would win, I'd be like, yay, go Yankees, just out of the blue. Instead of, you know, only pitching them when I needed something or, mm-hmm. you know, only asking them for something when I needed something. I found that that's totally paid off, because I treat everybody like that. And you never know when you're going to need a favor. People come to me for favors all the time. I'm, of course, the first one. You need a reference. You need a letter. You need a whatever opinion. I'll give it to you. You know, it just sort of works both ways. And having, you know, that really good friends still with the gal that gave me that advice, that manager, because she lives close by me. And so like I, like you and I have known each other a long time. Mm-hmm. We don't talk every day, but when we do, it's like old home week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we get along. And that's how I really try to have all my relationships be like it, like time stood still, you know, it was like, oh my gosh, how are you, Jolie? How are the kids? Or, you know, whatever it is. That's just how I am, I guess.
Yeah.
Fortunate that way that I've been able to build those relationships. That's very natural for me.
I love taking it to the interest level, because, you know, people will give advice to ask about family or stuff. But I love the interest level too, like sports, or you mentioned someone with a marathon. Maybe one of your people you work with loves marathons. So finding out those things and checking in on those.
Did you hear about this race? Or, you know, how's your training going? I mean, again, it's sort of checking in those moments when they don't expect you to. And it's not trying to be like staged. That's just who I am. That's how I think. As much as that feels natural for people, I would recommend it.
I love it. Before I let you go, because I like to ask this question, actually. Are there certain questions that you ask that help open people up, or that you find work really well with helping build connections?
That's a good one. I think I always have been told, ask, do you have a family? Never assume somebody's married. Never assume someone has a husband or a wife or whatever their orientation is. So I always start with, do you have a family? And it really just goes from there. And then they'll say, oh, yeah, I have this. I'm really close to my sister and we do blah, blah, blah. Or and then you just follow that narrative, right? Like, oh, we love going travel. What trips do you have planned next? When are you going? Oh, why'd you choose that? Right. You follow the thread that they're comfortable, because not everybody's comfortable talking about whatever their relationships are. But I find it's funny, people are very, at least my experience, pretty transparent. You know, they'll, once you just ask one or two questions, they just start gushing, you know. And of course, if they have kids, like, that's the easiest one in the world, because everybody loves their kids and just loves to talk about them. Oh my gosh, do they play sports or they dance? Or I don't know, are they great spellers? You know, you can't assume everyone's a sports star. So, you know, you just sort of ask questions that elicit, you know, information about that, what that person likes to do and how they spend their time. And it actually becomes actually super, super easy. Even for young people that don't have kids or aren't married yet, you know, you'll hear them say like, oh, I'm really close to my dad, or I really always wanted to go to Africa. I mean, I had one guy, I mean, he was saving to go to Europe with his girlfriend, and that's what they were doing, and they had their whole agenda. It doesn't matter if you're young or old or anywhere in between, you know, people are always, they have a life outside of work, turns out, thank goodness.
And that's a nice saved question too. I love that, one that opens people up. I think that's fantastic. Thank you for sharing.
And yes. So fun, Jolie. Happy to death, girl. You have the work that you're doing on your podcast, and I'm happy to be a part of it. And hopefully whoever listens to this gets something out of it. So that helped.
There were so many golden nuggets. Thank you so much for joining us, Angela. I really appreciate it.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jolie.
Thank you for joining us on the Career Wanderlust podcast. If you find value in learning from others, give us a like and subscribe. If you're looking to grow your communications, marketing, public relations, or sales and biz dev team with the best talent and quickly, check us out at paradigmstaffing.com and submit a request. We are wishing you a most successful and fulfilling career. Until next time.